Hi, MWTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, why don't you just say your name and your title at the Cathedral?
Yep, Michelle Dibley. I'm the Director for Programs at Washington National Cathedral.
And we are speaking because I know every year, I believe it's an annual event, the Cathedral hosts a discussion exploring, you know, race, prejudice, and even a little religion as well in movies, how Hollywood portrays it. Before we get to the actual movies you're going to talk about and the panel and all that good stuff, what's in a title? Talk about why it's called A Long, Long Way.
Sure. Thank you for asking. So Long, Long Way actually comes from the concept of this two-day event. When we're in the cathedral, we show a film that is a history film, right? So it's from an anniversary year. So the first year we showed Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and we pair it with a more current film. So we paired Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Get Out. And The Long, Long Way comes from a quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said that we may have come a long, long way when it comes to racial equity and justice, but we have a long, long way to go. And so this film event asks that question of our films and our culture. Have we actually come a long, long way? And do we still have a long, long way to go?
Gotcha. And let's talk about, before we get to the actual movies, who's going to be on, who are the esteemed panelists that we're going to be breaking this down?
No, this is so exciting. I'm really glad that you asked. So tonight's panel is being moderated by Sonia Williams, who is a documentary producer herself, primarily on radio, and a communications professor at Howard University. And we're joined by our two anchor panelists, the Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, who is the canon theologian at Washington National Cathedral and the dean of Episcopal Divinity School at Union Theological Seminary. Greg Garrett, who is a professor at Baylor University, and he actually is the, along with Kelly Brown Douglas and I, the initiator of this event. And he's used several events to write a book called A Long, Long Way, Hollywood's Unfinished Journey to Race and Reconciliation. So he has taken this question, A Long, Long Way, very seriously and is part of our panel conversation tonight. And we're excited to be joined by Philip Rodriguez, who is a film documentary maker from LA, which feels important given that Crash is one of our conversations tonight, or one of the movies we'll be talking about tonight.
Great. That does sound like a great lineup. Is it going to be, is it going to be virtual, or is there any in-person as well?
We are all virtual at this point for the cathedral. Sadly, we, like many places, look forward to the day when we will bring folks back into our space to spend time together and enjoy the architecture and everything else, but all virtual on Zoom.
Awesome. Well, that's what I figured, and that's probably the safest way to go about it. So, we'll have all these great people, panelists, in like a Zoom conversation, and I assume maybe clips from the movies too, or what do you got?
Yeah, so we'll line it up with three clips. Each movie will be introduced by one of our panelists. We'll show a brief clip and then we'll be off to the races. This crew had a prep call a couple of weeks ago and we had to tell them to hold the reins on their horses because they were going to have the whole discussion right there. So they are really ready to go with this conversation.
Awesome. All right. Well, without further ado, let's go a little deeper dive into each of the three movies you're going to be just showing and discussing the clips of. Let's take them one at a time and we can kind of talk about why you thought it was worthwhile talking about. So the first one is obviously the World War II classic romance, Casablanca, one of the best movies ever, but not really one you initially think about when you talk about conversations of race, but explain why. You know, the relationship between Bogey and, you know, the piano man, Dooley Wilson, as time goes by, why that actually is a good place to start this combo.
Yeah, so part of our premise is that any movie you watch says something about race. What characters in it are not in it? What's the arc of the storyline? And so for 1942, did this movie make any advancements? Is there anything to celebrate about it? Should we be watching it from the perspective of a 1942 audience or from a 2021 audience? What does it have to say? And should we be celebrating that relationship or should we be critiquing it or do we need to do both? So that's what our panelists are going to dig into with Casablanca tonight.
I think what you said is perfect. I think we do actually need to do both because, you know, it goes into your long, long way theme about how we've come a long way and we have a long way to go. So I guess the fact that Dooley Wilson is there as the character showed that they'd come a long, long way. But looking back with the benefit of hindsight, it's the trope of the quote, what is it? The reliable Negro quote, you know, a lot of that's what's written about a lot.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think you're right. Whether it's this or To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, we have to honor where it brought us, how far it brought us, but also look back and see how we've come a long way since and still have a way to go.
And I think the interesting thing is that there's some disagreement on our panel about which of those views we should take, which is why we're having a panel discussion so we can dig into it a little bit more.
I love it. Okay, so the next one, so that's Casablanca. The second film you're going to be, I'm just moving chronologically here. The second one is another Best Picture winner because Casablanca won back in the 40s. But this next one is Crash from 2004, memorably upset Brokeback Mountain. And I think it was, it's a movie that captured a lot of post 9/11 racial prejudice across lots of different, you know, races and ethnicities, but I can't use a soundbite if I say it. So I'll have you say it. What did it say about our post 9/11 world?
I think that really depends on who you ask, right? I think it's one of the, so we at Long, Long Way have mostly talked about movies and shown movies that are particularly reflective of the dynamic between Black folks and white folks, right? So what is that racial tension and that racial history? And Crash breaks us into a conversation that's much more multiracial, multicultural, and helps us sort of unpack a little bit about what stories are being told more broadly. How do we encounter them? How complex are the people who are engaged in all those stories? How are they portrayed across those lines in this bizarre, in some ways, set of scenes that connect all these characters that wouldn't be connected except for the storytellers and putting them in that position? So I'm again going to lean into our panelists about what exactly it says, but I will say that our panelists have very different opinions about how folks were portrayed and whether it was appropriate and what it actually says about forward movement in a multicultural world. So I'm really excited to hear more about what Philip Rodriguez has to say as someone who's from that area and has been making films in and about LA for quite some time. I think he's got a really unique perspective to share. And Greg Garrett wrote about both Casablanca and Crash in his book as part of this arc of narrative around what films have done historically. So I think he's got a unique perspective as an educator about what it means to learn about who we are based on what films are being made at any given point in history. So I think he'll have some interesting things to say about that too.
Absolutely. And I love that, once again, just like Casablanca, that you're saying the panel will probably have, you know, competing takes on this, which is going to make for a great conversation. I'm sure, you know, as a film guy myself, I've read many critiques of Crash in terms of, you know, I'm sure maybe people on your panel might say that maybe it's a little heavy-handed the way that the conversations happen. Maybe folks don't actually talk like that. But I think for at the time, and why it won Best Picture, it was having conversations that a lot of people needed to have, even if it was a little maybe on the nose. I think it really, sometimes you need that mainstream movie that's going to change hearts and minds just as much as the, you know, the grittier, artsier groundbreakers, I guess. But at the same time, you know, I do want to give the movie a lot of credit. It was an emotional gut punch. It was, you know, a diverse cast. Like, we hadn't really seen, gosh, Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard and all those roles. I mean, it was a big movie for a lot of people. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you guys are talking about it. And I definitely would probably use the music of Bird York's In the Deep and Stereophonics maybe tomorrow. I might use that on the radio. Okay, cool. And then two great picks for this topic. And then, of course, the third one, modern masterpiece, instant classic. Should have beat Green Book for Best Picture, Black Panther. I think the Academy had a little bit of bias against superhero movies, but after the death of Chadwick Boseman, especially, I think it's easy to look back now and say, damn, that movie is going to be the one that, you know, remains from 2018 that we're talking about in 50 years. But talk about why Black Panther is a great, I guess, your most recent example for this.
Sure. So if we're talking about the arc of filmmaking in particular, then you can't not include Black Panther as a film that centered on Black people, had roots in Africa, was written and directed by African Americans, lifted Chadwick Boseman as this extraordinary talent who we it's such a great loss that he's not with us anymore. But it's, you can't talk about what film means to people, which is part of this conversation, without a conversation about what a film like Black Panther means to the Black community, right? What does it mean for folks to be able to go into a theater and watch this particular film with the leadership of Black characters, with the women who are clearly taking lead roles, particularly in a moment in our world where Black women are being lifted up, right? It's being much more recognized that we ought to be listening more to what Black women have to say in the leadership roles that they're playing. So all of those things really come to fruition in a movie that asks our world, really, no matter what color you are when you're watching it, or what race or what ethnicity you are, to have some imagination, right? To have some imagination about who can do what in this world and then live toward that.
Such a great point, especially now that we've just transitioned from Black History Month to Women's History Month. Such a great point about the women of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the smartest one is I guess it's his sister, Shuri. She's the smartest one of the bunch. She's like the Q of James Bond designing all the stuff. And you have women warriors. I mean, Black Panther gets a lot of credit for racial, you know, groundbreaking, but gender too. And I really hope that now that, you know, since Boseman tragically died, I've been rooting for Shuri to take the mantle and become the new Black Panther, but we shall see.
We shall see. Well, and the one other thing that I want to say about Black Panther, and this is the Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas is one of the theologians who's joining us tonight, and she's asking us to think about films with a moral imagination, right? And she's a womanist scholar who has written extensively about all kinds of ways that race and theology intersect. And she's bringing that in particular to this conversation tonight, right? Like, what is it about film asking us to live our better lives? Can it do that? Does it do that? Does Black Panther do that in some of the same ways that ostensibly or arguably the church or God asks us to live better lives, both individually and collectively? So I'm excited to hear the panelists talk a little bit about that and as it relates to Black Panther too. So we're, you know, we do a little nod to church and theology because we're the cathedral, but it's this fascinating intersection of how religion and film sort of intersect in some ways that help us learn and grow. And that's why the cathedral is bringing all this stuff to the forefront.
I'm glad you mentioned the religious component to it, obviously, because it's at the cathedral. But you know, it's, yeah, if God created art forms of, you know, music and photography, theater, literature, performance, and then its own cinematic language, I think the movies captures all of it with its own unique ability for us to sit in a movie theater seat or a church pew in this case, and just live in someone else's shoes. Like, movies can transport us. It could be, in properly done in the right hands, could be the ultimate instrument of God. So I'm glad you have that component in there as well. Great. This sounds great. And three great choices. You know, I think we'll have a lot to chew on with Casablanca, Crash, and Black Panther, and maybe folks will leave the National Cathedral, or I guess in this case virtually, and flash that arms crossed Wakanda sign on the way out. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. I will turn this around and get it up as soon as I can.
Yep. And can you make sure folks know they can go to cathedral.org/longlongway or just plain cathedral.org to register to get the Zoom link for tonight?
Okay, cool. I will, in the article, I will link to it for sure. And I have the website up. Is the link for tickets on the actual website? I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, so okay, cathedral.org, he's going to bump it up. So, yep.
Yeah, it says register now. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's perfect.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity, and I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yep. Thanks so much for doing this.
Okay. Take care. All right. Bye.